All right, so we're in the Holy Spirit. Sometimes he's referred to as the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit. In the Old Testament, we see the power of the Holy Spirit at work in countless many different ways. The Holy Spirit one time gave Joseph skills to rule in Egypt. He gave Joshua military skills and power. One time, the Holy Spirit even empowered craftsmen to do the work of building the tabernacle and the temple, to do it precisely how God called the craftsmen to work their craft. And one time the Holy Spirit came upon Gideon and gave him power to lead into battle. In Judges chapter 14, 6, it's hard to believe, the Spirit came on a man named Samson. Who remembers Samson? You've read about Samson. He empowered Samson with supernatural strength so much that he tore a lion apart with his bare hands, as he would have torn a young goat apart. In 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 6, shows the words of the prophet Samuel to Saul. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord will come upon you in power, and you will prophesy with them, and you will be changed into a different person." Saul was the first king of Israel, and these were the words of Samuel to him. In the New Testament, we see the Holy Spirit at work in many ways everywhere. In fact, Jesus was conceived by whom? The Holy Spirit. In Luke chapter 1, we read about Mary, how she wondered how this would be, that she's going to be carrying the Son of God. And she asked the question, "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "Since I'm a virgin." And the angel answered her, he said, "The Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you." When Jesus gave his life for our sins on the cross, the Bible says the Son of God was raised from the dead by the power of who? The Holy Spirit. And he is Jesus Christ our Lord. Before Jesus ascended into heaven, he promised his followers, his disciples, that he would send them a gift, the gift of the Holy Spirit. He said, "And now I will send the Holy Spirit just as my Father promised, but stay here in the city, Jerusalem, until the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with power from heaven." And that same powerful Spirit is available to all who believe in Jesus Christ. We have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That is the Trinity. That is God three in one. And that is who we worship. So if you have your Bibles with you today, who has their Bible with you? Awesome. Good to see. You can turn to Acts chapter 1, and I will continue in our series of Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost. And as you're getting your Bibles out, I'm curious, how many of you that are believers, that are Christians, how many of you would say, "I know someone who is a Christian that seems to have more spiritual power than I do in their life"? Who knows somebody like that? How many would you say, "I know someone like that"? I think a lot of us do, right? Sometimes we see other people and we just wonder, how are they so spiritually gifted and empowered? You know, when we hear them pray, their prayers are so powerful, and we think, "Man, if I were God, I would answer that person's prayer. They're just so powerful." And other times we talk with people and we're perhaps talking about our problems, and they seem to just have the perfect Bible verse that they have memorized, and they speak that into your life, and you're like, "Wow, how do they do that?" Or that when something goes wrong in a person's life and they're not shaken, they just have this really deep spiritual assurance, and you're wondering, how is it they seem to have more power than I do? And the answer is simple. They have more power. In reality, I believe that there are people who are just more surrendered to the Holy Spirit. They're more available to be used by God. They're more available to be filled by the Holy Spirit. I want to explain this perhaps in a story from my youth. When I was a young man, in the summer of 1998, that was a while ago, it was the summer before my senior year in high school, and I was working in construction. Who's ever worked in construction before? All right, I was a laborer. Anybody do labor work? Okay, many of us. Yes, so you can relate. And our task with the crew that we had was to demolish some buildings. There was a plot of land and there was these small buildings. I'm not sure if they were like old hotel kind of cabin buildings or if they were for senior living, but anyways, there were these small, really old buildings, and our job was to take out all the drywall, all the toilets, all these kind of copper pipes, things that couldn't be thrown in the trash bin. So we spent a week with some of my friends who were also employed. You know, the company was owned by my best friend's father. So we were working for him, and we spent about a week just tearing out, gutting these buildings. And we finished the job, and there was no supervisor at the site, so we thought, okay, now we're going to have real fun. Now we're going to take these buildings down. So we got out the biggest hammers and saws and started going to town just smashing 2x4s and just trying to get these buildings to kind of collapse. And after a while, after hours of this, you could say we were just beat. We were tired. And not a single roof had fallen, no buildings had collapsed. You know, we had these ideas, okay, we could do this. You know, we're young guys full of just strength. And so after a while, we figured we're not going to succeed. This is going to take way too much effort. And then we started thinking, oh man, I hope our next instructions aren't to have to tear these things down with this equipment that we have. And we were really relieved to see when a semi-truck pulled up with a trailer with a big excavator on the back. And man, this machine was powerful. It came down, you know, the tank treads on it, and boom, it just swiped and took the house down. And we were just relieved to see that this wasn't the case, that we wouldn't have to use our own strength to do this. But I think that's how many of us try to kind of live our Christian life quite often. You know, we put our work gloves on, we grab our tools, and we think, okay, now I'm going to live this Christian life, and I'm going to do it in my own strength, in my own power. And we strive, and we fight, and we battle, and we don't get very far. Why? Because we're trying to live the Christian life in our own strength, when there's a far greater power available. The Bible says this, and this is amazing. To those of you who believe in Christ, you have access to the very same Holy Spirit that raised Christ from the grave. Can I hear an amen? You have access to that same Holy Spirit, the same power that raised Christ from the grave. You can be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit and have the ability to live a supernatural life in a very natural world. And yet so many of us, we put on gloves, grab our shovels, and struggle without the power available through the Holy Spirit. So Acts chapter 1, the context here, a little bit of context. Jesus had died on the cross, he had been laid in the grave, and he had risen from the grave, he had resurrected. And he was with his disciples, and he was having a conversation with them. And this is before he would ascend into heaven. And here's how that conversation went. Acts 1, verse 4. And while staying with them, he, this being Jesus, ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you heard from me. What do you think that promise was? It was what? It's the Holy Spirit. We studied this in the first part of our series in John 14 when Jesus tells his disciples, I'm going to go away and I'm going to send you a gift, a helper, and this is for your own good. It is good that I go away so I can send you the helper, the Holy Spirit. And Jesus continues in Acts chapter 1 verse 5. He says, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Now, what does this mean? Well, the Greek word translated as baptize, the word baptizo. And this word means to immerse. That is why when we baptize you here in this church, we fully immerse you underwater. We dunk you fully underwater. And this is what Jesus said. He didn't just say you're going to be filled with the Holy Spirit. He says, no, you're going to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. You're going to be filled, overwhelmed, overcome. You're going to be immersed in the power of the Holy Spirit. What's going to happen to you when this takes place? Acts verse 1, or chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. but you will receive power. Church, everyone say power. 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 You will receive power. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And what will they do with this power? He said, you will be my witness. You will testify about me. You will tell others about me, Jesus. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, and in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So when the Holy Spirit comes and baptizes you, you will receive power. And this word power, the Greek word, is dunamis. Do you know what word we get from this word dunamis in the English language? Dynamite. Dynamite. Who's ever played around with dynamite before? Have anybody worked in mines in here? Okay, at least one. My dad used to work in mines, and man, when those mines blew with dynamite, there's real power there. And this word means force, a miraculous force, power. It means an explosive power of God. And when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, He will baptize you. You will have dunamis, dynamite, explosive power of God. Then He says to His disciples, you're going to be empowered by the Spirit to take my message into all the world. The gospel message that Jesus, He carried your sins to the cross, paid the price on the cross for your sins. He suffered and died in your place so that you can be set free, so that your sin debt is paid in full by the blood of Jesus Christ, and that we are forgiven and washed clean by the blood of Jesus Christ. And then we're spiritually reborn. And God puts His Spirit in you, born again to a new life in Christ. And that life is eternal, my friends. And this is the message. He says, you're going to bring this message to the ends of the world by the power of the Holy Spirit. You may say, well, that's not that big of a deal. Yes, it is, guys. These are the same disciples who for the last 3 years couldn't get much right. I don't recall one time that Jesus said to the disciples, man, you guys have such strong faith. I can't believe I'm here with you. No, there's so many times that they got it wrong. They didn't get it, what Jesus was trying to teach them even at times. Peter, he said, Jesus, I'm going to be with you all the time. I'll never leave you. I'll never deny you. And what did Jesus do? Well, what did Peter do right before Jesus went to the cross? He denied Him 3 times publicly. The others, they were hiding. After they said, we'll die with you, Jesus. When Jesus was arrested, what did His disciples do? After He had been put to death, they were hiding, cowering in fear. Jesus died. He rose from the grave. Where were His fearless disciples? Behind locked doors, hiding. Jesus is resurrected. And they don't believe it. The women told them, yet they didn't believe fully. Thomas, one of the disciples who heard that Jesus had appeared to the other disciples, he said, I won't believe until I see Jesus with my own eyes and put my fingers on His wounds where He was nailed to the cross. I won't believe. Yet Jesus took these very ordinary men and said, you will have the power to take my message, the good message of the gospel, all over the world. And here we are at this moment declaring the Lordship of Christ in churches around the world still 2,000 years later. And guys, these disciples, pretty much all of them were martyred, killed in horrific ways for preaching the gospel. And they couldn't have done that on their own strength. They did that in the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came upon these very ordinary men and gave them the power to witness to everybody that they came across. And that same powerful Spirit is available to the church today, to all who believe in Jesus Christ. So take off your little work gloves, church, your little shovels. Stop doing the Christian life in your own limited strength and surrender to the unlimited power of the Holy Spirit. Next week, we're going to talk about the power of the Spirit through the gifts of the Spirit. But this week, I want to still go through four things, four distinct qualities that the power of the Holy Spirit wants to give all believers. First is to witness boldly. The first one, the Holy Spirit gives the power to share Christ boldly. The Holy Spirit wants to give you the power to share Christ boldly. Who needs this power to share Christ boldly? I think many of us do. I think that's one of the scariest things as a believer, is to share the message of Christ to those around us. Let's look at the words of Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 4 to 5. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 4 and 5. I'll give you a minute to turn in your Bibles. And my speech and my message were not plausible in words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of who? Of God. Of God. So Paul was saying, I'm not the most eloquent speaker around, but when you saw me, when I came and began to speak, the power of the Holy Spirit was there with me. And quite honestly, that is what I rely on every single week. I believe with everything in me that I'm not the best, I'm not the smartest guy around, but God can take what little I bring to the pulpit, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, empowering words, carrying them to your heart, doing the work in you, He can use the words in a way and speak directly into your lives. The Spirit does work in our heart when the Word of God is preached. The Spirit of God preaches through people. It's just a matter of surrender. That is the power of the Holy Spirit that enables us to communicate the message of Christ in a life-transforming way. In fact, when I was a young preacher, I was scared to death about preaching. 30, 31 years of age, trying to preach, learning to preach. Afterwards, some of the older members of the church would come up to me to encourage me and say, you know, that sermon wasn't half bad. I said, thank you. But that didn't mean it was half good either. But as I got older, I gained experience, and I reached a pivotal moment where I recognized the end of myself. There was only so much that I could do, that I could bring in my own strength, and that wasn't half bad. But it wasn't until I realized I need to stop trying with my own strength, relying on me, and begin to rely and trust in the Holy Spirit. And what a shift happened when I did that, when I realized, yes, there is a greater power, a greater strength available to be empowered by, but I just need to surrender to it and trust in the Holy Spirit. Maybe you've felt uncomfortable, underqualified, not good enough to share your faith. You're not alone. The disciples of Jesus, back in the day, they were once there as well. I think we've all been there at some point. Maybe you're there today where you just feel like, man, I just can't share my faith. I'm too fearful. I don't know what to say. I'm not qualified. I don't know the Bible enough. But that is why the Holy Spirit has been sent to empower us, to equip us. The Holy Spirit gives me power to share Christ, and He will give you that same power if you trust Him. Often we just need to take that first step of faith, and that's when the power comes in. Perhaps this week, you'll have a conversation with somebody, and you'll feel a prompting in your heart and your mind, saying that this person needs to hear about Jesus. You recognize that there's an opening to bring Christ in the conversation. You might hesitate, but I want to encourage you, step out in faith when you feel prompted and share Christ. Share about the hope that He's brought into your life, what He's done in your life. You might say, well, I don't know what to say. Just do it and watch what happens. Rely on the power of the Holy Spirit. He'll guide your thoughts. He'll bring up scriptures into your heart. He'll give you the words to say. So place yourself in the Holy Spirit's hands. Offer to pray for someone. You know, in my years of ministry, I've never had anybody say to me when I've offered to pray them, they've never said no. People are open to being prayed over. You may think, well, man, I'm no good at praying. I don't know what to say. Trust in the Holy Spirit to lead you. Ask Him to help, to guide you. Next thing you know, you're praying, and all of a sudden this prayer just comes from your heart out of nowhere. You've got faith for it. You think, what is that? That is the Holy Spirit upon you, a regular person empowering you to share Christ boldly. And you can access that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. It's available to you. He's there. He's available to you. He will come upon you in power when you trust Him, when you surrender to Him, when you open up yourself. So number one, He will give you power to share Christ boldly. Number two, He will give you the power when you are weak. This is going to speak to so many of us. He will give you power when you are weak. Romans 8, verse 26 says, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. Who's ever felt weak? I think all of us know what it feels to feel weak. So likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. How does this help us? Too many ways to count. Countless ways. One of the ways is He intercedes for us. The Spirit prays for us. The Bible says, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. The Holy Spirit prays for us when we are weak. You know, I've had moments in my life where I've been in a dire situation. I remember a time of great loss, and I was praying to God, and just heartache. And it's like you run out of words. You just cry out to God, and you're even groaning and crying, and you don't even know what to say, but that is the Spirit praying in you, for you, through you. And I remember moments where the Holy Spirit would just give me such peace in times of distress when I didn't even have the words to express it. You know, I look back to my youth once again, and my public speaking skills as a youth were terrible. They were so bad. Speaking in front of people, I'd freeze up, trip over words. I'd mispronounce words. My tongue would just go in knots. I'd even start to stutter sometimes. And this was mostly because I was so nervous. And when the Lord began to call me to preach, to teach at the pulpit, I said, Holy Spirit, I prayed to Him. I said, I need You. I need You to help me with my speech. Help me with my talking. And He answered. He began to fill me, and I sense His presence and His power. And it was like my tongue just began to be smooth, not this knot, not this big ball in my mouth. And He would just guide my speech, and I began to rely on the Holy Spirit in this way, and the power was there available. So many of us, we got our gloves on, we got our shovels, our own tools, and we're working away, and we begin to feel tired and weak at times. But where you are weak is where God's Spirit is made perfect. His strength is made perfect where you are weak. So wherever you are weak today, guys, the Holy Spirit can be strong. Can I hear an amen? The Holy Spirit is strong where we are weak. You may be a parent and you're going through a difficult season with your child. You don't know what to do with this kid of yours. They're just too much. The Holy Spirit can give you wisdom and guidance. Ask Him. He will help you. You may have a presentation at work coming up or a difficult speech you got to give. And you feel panicked and freezing up, perhaps like myself. Your voice shakes. Think, how am I going to get through this? Ask the Holy Spirit. Say, Holy Spirit, help me. Give me power. Give me strength. You are strong where I am weak, and He will help you. You know, my friend, Yerky, you may know him, Yerky Hauka. He's preached before, and he's a machinist. And as a machinist, he runs his own business, and he gets clients, and sometimes he has to solve these problems of how to fix something or make something to make a certain project work. And he's witnessed that he asked the Holy Spirit to give him wisdom and guidance of how to machine the right part to make a machine work in the right way. And the Holy Spirit gives him answers in this. He is our helper. He empowers us. He gives us wisdom. And we can talk to him and ask for help. And he is there. You may have sin in your life that you just can't overcome, that you feel powerless against. And you've been taking your little shovel, your little hammer, you've been trying to work away. And just say, I just can't. I just can't dig this out of my life, this sin. I keep falling. The Holy Spirit of God can give you power to overcome where you are weak. Call on him. Look at what the Bible says. I love this. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 9 to 10. This was Paul, and Paul was complaining. Apostle Paul, who wrote so much of the New Testament, he's saying that he's a thorn in his flesh. And he's asking God to remove this thorn in his flesh. We don't know what it was in his life. It was a weakness in his life. And he was asking God, take it away, God. Take it away. Take it away. And here's what God says to him. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, 9 to 10. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weakness, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Strong in the Spirit. I don't know about you, but this verse has spoken so much into my life and brought so much peace and empowerment and comfort and just building up my faith to trust in the Lord. It is the power of the Holy Spirit that will give you power to share Christ boldly. He will give you the power when you are weak. And number three, he will give you the power to have hope in a hopeless world. He will give you the power to have hope in a hopeless world. This thought and this scripture is for many of you. It will be life for you today. Let the Spirit speak directly to you. Romans 15:13, Paul says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. Let's read that last part again. So that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. So many people around the world have limited hope. And for good reason, when we look at what's happening in the world, in our modern world, there seems to be very little hope for tomorrow. If we put our hope in anything else besides God, our hope is going to be limited. And so many people are trying to put their hope in something that is limited. If we put our hope in ourselves, we have limited hope. If we put our hope in other people, again, our hope is limited. If we put our hope in our circumstances will only take us so far. People's hope is limited. Because it's not put in what? In the unlimited God. The good news is, if you put your hope in God, he can cause you to overflow with hope by the power of who? The Holy Spirit. So if you're hurting today, if you're afraid, put your hope in God. Let him overflow in your life with joy and hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's say that you lose your job. Continue to put your hope in God, and he will be your provider. It may be a season of testing, but keep putting your hope in God. If you find out that someone you love is sick, continue to put your power in God. Let the Holy Spirit be your healer. If you find yourself worried about tomorrow, you're anxious, continue to put your hope in God and let the Holy Spirit be your comforter. If you lose someone you love, as much as it hurts, We don't have to grieve like the people in the world do who have no hope. We can put our hope in God and the promise of the resurrection and glory and eternally in heaven. If you're hurting today, put your hope in God. Those who hope in anything else have limited hope. But the scripture says this, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. So if you're hurting today, I pray that this biblical truth becomes reality in your life, that even though you don't see anything that you can have hope in, that you can overflow in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. So go to God. Go to God, church. The fourth thing I want to show you today is unquestionably the most important. And that is the Holy Spirit will give you the power to experience all the fullness of God. Some of you may be saying, what does that mean? Here's what I've noticed in our Western world, in our country. I believe so many people have reduced Christianity down to the lowest common denominators. Basically, so many people believe that Christianity is about, yeah, I believe in God. Yeah, I said the sinner's prayer. Check that box. Maybe I got baptized. I've joined a church. I read the Bible here and there. I try to be a good person, and I hope that one day I will be led into heaven. And when you look at the lives of people who think that is Christianity, what you see is something that really doesn't look that much different from the rest of the world. There's still hurt, there's still addiction, still filled with worry, brokenness, struggle, marriages struggling, no real faith, no real victory. Why? Why? Because there's no power. There's no power. So many people today don't understand who God is and what He has for you. The Holy Spirit will give you the power to experience the fullness of God. The fullness of God. Listen to what Paul prayed over the believers in Ephesus. And I pray this for our church family. He prayed this in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 to 19. Ephesians 3, 14 to 19. Paul prayed this. He said, for this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of His glory, He may grant you to be strengthened with the power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and to know that the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. If you've ever wondered, is there more to Christianity? There has got to be more than just not doing the big bad stuff and trying to do some of the good stuff. The answer is yes, there is so much more to Christian life than that. It's not just following rules. It's about living a life in the Spirit with the fullness of God. Born again life by the power of the Holy Spirit. There is a reality of that constant presence of God through the Holy Spirit in you that you can have in your innermost being, your deepest places, this peace and love that surpasses all human ability to even comprehend and understand it. That's the fruits of the Spirit that can manifest in your life. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. That you can be led by the Spirit to walk by faith and not by sight. That you can have joy unspeakable. That you can have supernatural spiritual strength. That you can be rooted and established in the very secure love of Christ. And you can live a supernatural life in this very natural world. And you can never do it on your own strength. But there is another power available to all of us who are in Christ. Call on him. Believe on him. Allow the Holy Spirit to fill you. Do not quench the Spirit, as Paul says. Allow him to strengthen you, comfort you, guide you, counsel you, to intercede for you as he empowers you to live the life that you are incapable of living on your own. And one day, you will bring glory and honor to God, our Heavenly Father. Holy Spirit, would you fill us? Would you teach us? Would you move freely in this place? Would you empower us, ordinary people, believers, to live an extraordinary, Spirit-filled life? Would you rule and reign in our lives? Have your way in our hearts. If there's someone who's hardened their heart against God and the Holy Spirit, God is calling you to humble yourself, to open yourself to him, to soften your heart, to be moldable, to be able to hear his voice today. Would you rule and reign in our hearts, Holy Spirit? Teach us to hear your voice and to submit to your leading. Help us to trust you to empower us. Help us to overcome our flesh and to surrender fully to your power, that we may please you and live for you in every way. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.